I'd like you to turn your Bibles back to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. This morning, we come to the final chapter of this book of Ecclesiastes, this book of wisdom which God in His mercy gave us to show us, to teach us, to direct us to the way of everlasting life through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may live a life meaningfully and purposefully even in this sin-cursed world. And Solomon here, as we have already covered the last 11 chapters, and throughout this whole book, Solomon contrasted the new life found in the Lord Jesus Christ with the life living without God. And of course, you already know the life without God at the end, as Solomon concluded in his search, in his experiment, you can say, in the end, it is a life of vanity. All is vanity. A life, living a life here in this world, without God, without Christ as your Savior, will in the end be futile, emptiness, worthless, a waste. In Hebrew, the word vanity is translated as emptiness, futility or futilities. All is futile. That is the life of a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, living his or her life without the God of the Bible. But the last chapter of Ecclesiastes is a tremendous call to urge us, to warn us, to call our soul that we ought to take heed. And so our subject is preparation for eternity. Preparation for eternity. Look at verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. We begin by noting that the word youth in the usage by Solomon the preacher here is not limited to our contemporary usage of someone, say, who is in his or her 20s. But in the literature of the Bible, in Solomon's time and in that culture, youth refers to someone right up to the age of 40s or mid-40s. And so it is not a call or a command only for the youngsters in the Bible study class or in the Sunday school or in the church. Next, note also the word remember. Remember here is not merely exhorting us to just recall or store in your mind or in your memory. It is more than that. It is to actively mark, M-A-R-K, mark so as to recognize, so as to take note. Remember as in thinking of it or thinking of God earnestly. To make to remember. Remember now thy Creator. To leave Him out makes no sense at all. To leave Him out is total madness. And that's what we are here urged to do. And to do it now. Do not delay. Do not forget God. He is your Maker. He is your Creator. He is your Sustainer. He is potentially your Savior, and He is most certainly, and we don't like that, He is most certainly your judge and my judge. The maddest thing, the most foolish thing, is to forget God, is to ignore Him, is to leave Him out of your life. If you are in employment, what do you do in your employment? You remember your boss, do you not? You remember your manager, or whoever you report to in your work. Do you ignore them? Do you leave them out? Do you take no heed or pay no attention of their instruction to you? Do you take no account of them? Brush them aside? You don't do that, isn't it? To do that is indeed not wise. It's foolishness. So infinitely more foolish or madness is to pay no attention to God, your Creator, your Maker. To totally disregard Him. To put Him out of your sight, out of your mind. That's foolishness. An athlete, do you not realize, an athlete keep his eye on the lane. He is running in. All this, his effort, will be in vain, and he is disqualified if he takes his eyes off that lane and run off the lane or run out of the lane. And so it is. It is for you. So it is for me. When you go through life without God in mind, that is your greatest foolishness, dear friends. It is not worth your intelligence. It is not worth your status as a human being to ignore God, to forget Him, to leave Him out. It is not worthy of your rationality to leave out your Maker. But this is what we are urged to do by the people of the world. This is the influence that we get from the world to forget God. In fact, some of them will scorn at you, will laugh at you if you do not ignore your religion, if you do not ignore or turn or disbelieve your Bible and your God. They will mock at you. They will laugh at you if you do not ignore the God, the Creator, your Creator, who holds the key to eternal life. No greater folly than that. But look at this verse again. Remember now thy Creator. And that's a very interesting statement. The Hebrew text is very precise, and it compels you, as I said earlier on, it's not just to remember, put it in your brain. It compels you to think of the term. It is not any creator or the creator, but thine or your creator. God is your creator. My friends, you know, when God created this world, this entire universe, and this particular planet, and all the life on it, what does it show? It reflects the hands of a designer, without any doubt. However, when God created all things, He did not, as some people think, simply get it all going and then leave it to His own devices. That's not the God or the Creator of the Bible. And so thereafter, everything just goes through its motion or its own processes. Human beings live and procreate, and everything works out automatically on its own. Oh no, my friends. This is not what God is doing. He is your Creator. Though it is very difficult indeed, we must acknowledge, for us to take it in. When God made us, He made us very thoughtfully. His mind was on it. He did not simply begin His creation and then abandon it. He did not just merely create us and leave us on our own. You are created by Him. Not just people, but you in particular. And He made you as you are, a distinct person, with your uniqueness, your balance of powers, your gifts, your abilities, and your propensity. He designed and made you. God set His thoughts and His mind on you. You better remember Him, my friends and brethren. He formed you. Whether you believe that or not, the fact remains. The truth is there. It is in the Word of God. He formed you and He knows you through and through. He beholds you and looks upon you from His throne. And here you are. Think of it. So blessed. So privileged. With life and breath. Designed by God. And you, down here living on His earth, breathing His air and ignoring Him, leave Him out, brush Him aside. Remember, thy Creator is another way to look, or rather, remember thy creation is another way to look at the text. And how can we be so foolish, so blind, not to think of Him and to ignore Him, your Creator, thy Creator? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Youth, as I mentioned earlier, is used by Solomon for those up to their 40s or 40 plus. Thy youth, your youth. You have life. But don't forget, which we often do not think of it, you have life, my friends, lent to you. It is yours on lease. You ought to keep the terms that God has laid upon you as the lessor. You ought to pay the rent, the degree of homage, gratitude, thanksgiving, love and service and worship to Him. Perhaps you have ignored it. You ignore the terms. And so it is another foolishness on your part. And it is a sin, of course, to ignore God, to throw Him out. However, this time of youth is a special time. It is a time of aspiration, time of experiment. Youth describes the formative years when you are shaped by the influences around you, the things you learn and the things you believe. But then, there comes a time when youth ends. When you stop being shaped. And your situation, your character, your personality, and your manner of life is pretty fixed. Just as your body stops growing in many respects. So you as a character, as a person, stops growing once you reach or pass the years of youth. And that's youth. You experience everything in life, you try this and that, you develop, you form your views, and then you change, your taste change, and it varied about, and then before you realize it, youth is over. And you are fixed. You are set in your character, in your personality, in your habits, sinful habits. Yes, you can make some adjustment, but it is hard. It is hard to change. And if you come to that fixing point without remembering your Creator, without having a relationship with a living God, without having your sins forgiven, without having your soul renewed, when your spirit comes to life so that you can pray and relate to God, and walk with Him, that will be a great tragedy. Sorrow upon sorrow. Humanly speaking, after you are fixed, after you are set, youth is past, you become set and fixed. Stubborn. For some people, they become very fixed or set very early in their age. They are not even out of their 20s. And they are fixed, set in their thinking, in their thought life, in their character. They stop learning. They are fixed in their personality, in their lifestyle. Some people is later on. But when you are fixed, my friends, or set, humanly speaking, it is much harder to influence you to seek the Lord Jesus Christ and to find Him. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank our God. It is not the end of the story. Because God, in His mercy, He has the power to soften hardened hearts and to turn them to Himself. We must then further examine and ask, why? Why are we so readily, so easily put aside God, our Creator, and forget the Lord Jesus? Why? Why do we do so? So easily to forget God, our Creator. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. I shall speak on that a while later. But here, the answer to that question, why we so readily put aside God, it is because it is part of our human rebellion against God. It is our fallen nature. We are at enmity with God. That's what the Bible tells us. We reject dependence upon someone else. There is a natural element in this. We find, for example, young people, particularly in the West, as I discover, where they were moved out at an early age, away from dependence upon their parents. Sometimes they feel embarrassed to be dependent upon their parents. Of course, there are other reasons prior to disagreement and so on. But the point is this, I'm trying to bring out. So it is also with God. We resist dependence upon the living God and putting ourselves under His rule. It is, you want the truth? Our rotten human pride. We do not want or like to come under the rule of God, our Creator. Our natural fallen self resents that. we are proud. It is misjudged in this respect. Sure, it is right and good for the young people, maybe to set up their own family, their own home. But remember, never, never abandon your God, your Creator, the one who so particularly and thoughtfully made you, created you in His image, and graciously supplied you the air you breathe, the life you have. It is foolishness to leave Him out of your life. And sometimes we are so occupied, we get so absorbed with career, the busyness of life, study, the family and children, and everything else, and important as these things are, but nothing, nothing, my friends, brethren, nothing should cause you to break off thinking, marking, remembering your Creator, your God. That is the most disastrous thing you can do to yourself, despite your busyness and whatever you get your hands to do. Never, never forget God and turn away from Him. The other aspect that may cause us to abandon God is our overconfidence, our self-righteousness, and our pride. All these things pull us away from God. And most of all, perhaps, sinful desires and habits pull us away from God. We begin to get hooked on certain sin, certain activities, certain mind cast. Whether your master sin is pride, selfishness, lasting after power, wealth, position, influence, delighting in flattery. Why, these are some of the causes that entangle and entrench us and turn us away and against God, our Creator. And youth, when youth is past, the only way, when you are set at certain age, your character, your personality, your habits are all set, the only way to get yourself out of all this entanglement and free yourself from this web of sin and lust is by really throwing yourselves on the mercy and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to break these sinful habits and lifestyle which we form and fix and will shape during our youth. So remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And this is the kind of reasoning that we will find in Solomon's writing of this book. Let us now come to the second part of verse 1. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. This is a brief introduction to the reasons that follows in verses 2 to 7. The reason why Solomon is instructing us or urging us to remember thy creators in the day of thy youth. The reason is very simple. Once youth is over, the aging process begins, and it involves a deterioration of the bodily function and strength. And gradually you are approaching the end of life, and you could no longer do those things that you once enjoyed and do those things that you once able to do. And so you say, I have no pleasure in them. That is a very, very sad thing to say for a man or a woman whose life is without God. But actually, It refers back not only to the fact that you cannot enjoy now. Now that youth is over, and as you look back, it is not referring only back to that time, but you no longer have any pleasure in your past life. And that is the intention of the language here, my friends. You reach the point in your life when you look back. You say you have no pleasure in your entire life. I no longer get any pleasure from looking back. I reflect upon my life and the whole thing. And as the preacher says, my conclusion is in verse 8, just as Solomon says, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. All is vanity. It is futile. It proves a waste. What a tragedy to be in that stage. And the warning is therefore, remember now thy Creator while young, because if you do so, you would not have vain regrets. You would not look back at the large tracts of your life and say, that decade, that 2 decades, that 3 decades were all futile. It was all my selfishness. It was all for myself. Almost everything went wrong. I can see it now. Yes, you may see it then. It's too late. It's too late. I have everything in my life. My life, my family, my children, my career, my friends. But I wasted it. I squandered it due to my foolishness in disregarding God, in turning away from Him, in forgetting Him, ignoring Him. I have no time for Him. I have no time for God. No thoughts of Him. No fear of God. I did not seize the opportunity God gave to me to repent of my sin and to turn to Him for salvation. He pleaded with me, softly, urging me, beseeching me, through the preacher, through my friends, through my neighbors, through a gospel tract, but I ignored it. I care less. But now at the final journey of my life, and as I look back, I say, I have no pleasure in them. Oh, what sorrow. What a tragedy to come to near to death and say, I have no pleasure now, and I have no pleasure in looking back either. And so the warning, dear friends and brethren, is, and for that reason, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Oh dear friends, as time goes by and you pass through your youth, spiritually, what happened to you? You become increasingly apathetic. Some people even bitter against God. You become increasingly cynical about God and eternal life and things spiritual. And you become increasingly addicted to your sin and lust, and all these things will take you away from remembering, any remembrance of your Creator or seeking after Him. Now I want to move on briefly to speak from verses 2 to 7. And this is written in poetic language. It is all imagery. And you know, it describes to us the deterioration of the human life, the deterioration of our human body as you grow older. It is a process that we cannot stop, and you cannot deny it. However, I want to highlight that in these verses that you read, in the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble and all that, of course this is poetic language, as I said, and it illustrates the deterioration of the human body. the eyesight, the teeth, because it says here, for example, in the days when the keepers of thy house shall tremble. This refers perhaps to the weakness in our legs, in our arms. We no longer are able to hold ourselves up. We need something to help us in our walking. But I want to tell, or rather highlight to you, that Solomon does not employ or use this description simply to portray the decline of our human physical life or physical body. He is actually referring to the soul, and he makes it very clear in the remaining verses of this chapter. Solomon, in verses 2 to 7, in poetic language, in this illustration, is speaking to us concerning your spiritual life, your soul, or your complete lack of it. Remember your Creator. Read the verses from 2 to 7 in this way. Remember now thy Creator, while the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. Well, what the preacher is saying to us is that if you do not walk with God, you will never know His touch upon your life, His forgiveness. You will never receive a light from Him. Then the sky will darken, and you will lose the light of the heavenly bodies, as the Bible calls them, the sun, the light, the moon. And you wouldn't see things, these things. And they, all these things are what? These things are representation to your understanding of spiritual things. It is not just merely referring to our failing eyesight, lost in our taste buds, our legs and our limbs are weak, with all the back pain. It is to tell us about the soul. And they represent to you, my dear friends and brethren, the message of the gospel. The scripture that explains why we are here on earth, and what life is all about for us, and how the human race has fallen from God, and how Christ has come, the second person of the Godhead, into this world, made an atonement for sinners, died on their behalf, and He forgives them and grants them eternal life. Well, all this message, all this knowledge, all this understanding will become dim, and become dimmer and dimmer, and become more distant, more remote, less relevant to you, if you don't think of this thing. If you forget your Creator, you will lose that. They will leave no impression upon you. They will never move you. They wouldn't affect you. They will not even interest you. That is why the preacher, writing in poetry, is trying to get across to us in these verses. In verse 2, concerning the light, the sun, the moon. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, because as soon as you get older, you will lose all spiritual impression, all spiritual desire. Ignore Him, and He may just ignore you, my friend. And I'd like you to take note and mark it out in 2 Chronicles 15, verse 2, that tells us, if you forsake Him, referring to God, He will forsake you. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 2. And then verses 3 to 7, in the days when the keepers of thy house shall tremble. And so it refers perhaps to the arms and the legs that weaken, the grinders that cease. It refers to the teeth that decay, and then that those that look out, the eyesight fails. Verse 4, and the door shall be shut in the streets, and so forth. It suggests the failing of hearing. And verse 5 again, and when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way. It refers to our stamina and cause us to fear of activity. The white blossom here pictures the graying of the hair, The grasshopper referring to things associated with spring and rejuvenation. We lost interest and attractiveness to us. Mourners go about. Life seems to be filled more and more with sadness than happiness and a tendency to depression. As we get older and youth pass, a life without God. And finally, verses, or rather 6 to 7, death. Death comes at the final stage of our deterioration, thus return to the earth. And this is an allusion to Genesis chapter 2 and also Genesis chapter 3:19. The allegory here illustrates to us the beginning and the end of life. The spirit returning to God after death parallels remembering the Creator during life. We forget Him, we forsake Him, we turn away from Him, we turn against Him. Dear brethren and friends, what I'm trying to bring to all of us, and as Solomon says in verse 9 and 10, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge, yea, he gave good heed, and sought out, and such, and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, meaning to say agreeable words, agreeable to the hearers, agreeable to you. And that's what the preacher is attempting to do, and that's what I'm also trying to do, to speak to you, to find out acceptable words. I'm trying to express it in a way to make it a good news to you, just as Solomon, the preacher, intends to bring to us. The good news of the gospel. The good news that Christ, the eternal Son of God, has such compassion and love for sinners like you and me, that He came into this world, suffered and died on Calvary. There's no need for Him to do that. Do you know, as I said in my last sermon the last time, there's no need for Christ to sympathize with you or me, except because, or rather for Him to sympathize, because He wants to, He did that for us. He came into this world to take the indescribable agony, pain, humiliation, shame of the eternal weight of punishment due to our sin, due to all who would be forgiven, so that He can purchase the right to forgive us, to change us, to give us a new life, to give us meaning and purpose in this life, and to make us His own redeemed people. Oh dear friends, this is a very serious message. I know it is very sober, it doesn't sound joyful, but it is necessary. I have to say that we are all sinners who only deserve eternal death. And yet, I have to find a way to say to you, that is not the end of the story. Praise and thank God. There is a way out. This may be an offensive message to some of you. You are a sinner. You are a failure. You don't like that. But you are in desperate need. You are under judgment, whether you believe it or not. Because the Bible says so. But I have to emphasize it in a way that is agreeable to you. I am appealing to you. I am urging you, dear friends, think. Think of the love of God. Think of the length to which Christ went. And what great length He went to secure salvation for undeserving sinners like you and me. To secure salvation for those who would be saved. For His own people, in whose heart there would be a tremendous work of grace. And so verse 11, the words of the wise are gods, and as nails fastened by the masters of the assembly, which are given from one shepherd. That verse here in simple, short term means there is a command there. Just like those nails, the spur, some translated the word goat as spur, a spike, to do what? Harm you? No. To poke at you? To wake you up. To urge you to repent. Why? Because soon, youth will be over. Time is running out. Soon, you will breathe your last breath. And that's the end of it. If you forget God, your Creator. So I'm trying to show you the great kindness and mercy of God in being willing to overlook the years of your ignoring Him. And He is willing to hear your repentance, forgive your sins, which you can only do because Jesus, the Lord, has suffered in your place, paid the penalty on your behalf, if you believe in Him. And so I'm trying to do that in such a way that it will be like a goad, a spur, to spur you to repent, to make you aware how urgent and how important it is, and how desperate is your position if you are outside of the kingdom of God, if you do not turn to Him. That is what this passage is all about. Remember now thy Creator. Remember as soon as you can. There is no better time for you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Come now! Come in your teens, come in your 20s, come in your 30s, come in your 40s, your 50s, your 60s, and even 90s. Come now, while you have the time, while you are still breathing and alive. And in our modern term, while you are still kicking, come now, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And when you are truly saved, my dear friends, saved in the arms of Jesus, you know what will happen to you? None of these things that Solomon mentioned here, illustrated, none of these things will in any degree fall upon you, because you will walk with Christ anew, afresh, in the newness of life, in the power of the Holy Spirit, all the way to the end of your life's journey, when He takes you home to be with Him for all eternity. So my dear friends and brethren, forsake not your God, forsake not the Lord Jesus Christ, forsake Him not. Turn to Him. Turn to Him now. Brethren and friends, turn to Him now, before youth time is over. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, have mercy upon us. Open our spiritual eyes and see the desperate situation and position we are in. And help us. May your Spirit move us. May your Spirit, O Lord, indeed, take away our pride and cause us in humility turn to thee and diligently seek after you, for you are a rewarder to those who diligently seek after thee. So help us, we pray. Amen.